What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Hey fam, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith. Check out this exclusive Red Table Talk bonus content.
Our RTT fam has so many questions for you. Let's roll the first one.
Hi, my name is Demia Gordon. In the past, I attempted suicide while being pregnant and was given medication. Is medication a band-aid, just masking what's really going on?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. Did she say she tried to commit suicide when she was pregnant?
Wow. She did.
Okay, That's deep.
So the first thing I'll say is how touching it is that someone would be that open about their own experience.
Yeah.
I want to honor that for her and just hold space for her because that's very moving, particularly while she's pregnant.
Yeah.
In terms of the answer to the question, I think a lot of people have that idea, especially in communities of color, that medication is a band-aid, right? There's the fast way and the slow way. The slow way is talk therapy. Because of everything that you said.
Right.
You gotta dig it up, put it on the table, you gotta look at it, you gotta like move it around, you have to deal with it.
Right.
The fast way is medication. Medication is not happy pills. That's what I tell you, it's not a happy pill. Think about it like this. Some people are struggling so much with mental illness, they can't function. So if you can't function, how are you going to do talk therapy?
Right.
You can't get out the bed, right?
Right.
You can't move around. You're taking psychotropic medication or mental health medication or psychiatric medication. Really what it's there to do is sort of to elevate your mood to a place where you're able to do the work that you need to do to be healthy.
Right.
But if the medication will help you get to a place where you can do those things, then you can work on the talk therapy and that can help you. So I think it's both. I definitely don't think it's a band-aid.
Got it. All right, so we got another question for you.
Hello, my name is Scott, and I'm a lifetime sufferer of depression. I don't often share my feelings with other people. As someone who keeps my emotions bottled up inside, am I more at risk for just snapping or harming myself?
Another wonderful question. There's so many layers to that. I think anything that we don't address, we bottle it up and we give it the opportunity to grow in ways that
and
we don't
fester.
Necessarily want it to grow. That's it. You're allowing it to fester.
Right.
Prevention is better than intervention, but if you're not able to prevent, you want to intervene early.
Right.
So when you feel that depression starting to creep up, those are the times I think we want to try to do things, not to push it back down, but to manage it.
Right.
So it's a different thing to bottle it up and do nothing.
Right.
Than it is to bottle it up and work on it periodically.
Right.
If you don't manage it, you really don't have any control over what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. If you manage it, you can shrink it back down. Mm-hmm. So you want them to be in a place where they shrink so small that they don't control your life, but they're still a part of your life. They inform your life.
Right. Kathy from Illinois asks, my daughter is very social, but I am seeing some changes in her energy, mood, and sleep patterns recently. She says she's fine. What questions should I be asking her?
I absolutely love this question. The answer is, what we don't want to do is just say, how you doing?
Yeah.
What's the answer always? Fine.
Fine.
Didn't tell you anything. Right. So I tell people, don't say how you doing. Instead, I tell everybody this. Say, tell me something good that happened in your day and tell me something bad that happened in your day. Because the answer to that really can't be fine.
Right. You got to answer it.
And that, maybe it doesn't always work, but at least it opens the door.
Yeah.
I run a research-based nonprofit. And what we learn is that the parents who communicate more effectively with their children are more likely to see when things are kind of going haywire and they can intervene. You can't wait until there's something wrong and it's like,
and
hey, baby,
you want
to communicate. It's all the time, even when nothing's wrong.
Wow.
If someone's really determined to hurt themselves, can you stop them?
There's only but so much you can do.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, the person has to be willing. Seriously.
I know I've driven across LA to go see friends who weren't returning my calls, and I knew that they were going through hard times.
There you go.
I tried to check in and I tried to give them space, but then those alarms were going off.
Yes.
And I just had to go over there.
Yes.
And just be like, knock on their door and be like, hey, like, what's up? I'm worried about you.
That's a big part of it, is that you're willing to do it. And I think the thing to remember, for any one family that this happens to, is too many. That's one completion too many.
Yep, 100%.
What do you think is the most challenging aspect for a person who is considering suicide? What is the driving force for a completion of an act like that? Is it because that person doesn't feel that they can be seen, that they can be heard, or they can't get out of a emotional problem?
I was just gonna say very, very simply, I can think of overwhelming amounts of reasons.
Right.
I don't necessarily know that people wanna die. They want the pain to stop.
That's it right there. They just want the pain to stop.
Because they don't see another way. So I think them not seeing another way is where we come in with the intervention. It is, let me help you think through some other ways that this could go.
Yeah.
This is not the only way.
So how do you approach someone who you suspect may be depressed? How do you approach them about seeking help?
If you know someone is struggling, like when you go to the friend's house and you bang on the door and they open the door and they're disheveled and they just look a mess, and they invite you in and you sit down, at some point in the conversation, the question is there any part of you that doesn't want to be here anymore?
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to ask, because people don't, who wants to volunteer that?
Right. Look at us,
especially in our community. I'm not volunteering that, because what are people going to say? You're going to say I'm deceived, or you're going to say I'm crazy.
Right.
And I want you to think I'm crazy.
Totally.
And then beyond that, it is, okay, and this is the hard part for people. What would you do? Do you have a plan? Right. That's your assessment. You're really trying to understand, how far down the path are they thinking about this?
Right.
And I think it's really important to not avoid the question.
Totally. I know I've definitely been depressed in parts of my life. If I'm going through a hard time or I have so much on my mind, to just like be pleasant is really difficult.
Yeah. So yeah, how do we penetrate that?
So I think the challenge is, we go into it with the person we care about wanting to help.
Right.
Right.
They're not necessarily ready to receive help.
Right.
On top of that, they're not necessarily ready to receive the help that we want to give.
Right.
Because that might not be what they want.
Right.
So I encourage people to say, think about what you would want in that situation. If you were struggling, what do you want somebody to do for you? I think most of us just want to know that somebody sees, values, and hears us.
Yes.
Right? They just want to know that we're present and available. You don't start with, child, you look depressed, you need to go get some help, right? Yeah. And you don't want to say, you need some professional help, right? Because you know people, right? Come on now.
People don't want to hear that.
It sounds like an attack on their, like, character.
That's right.
I would imagine you have to meet a tone in a way there's no pity.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, hey, just know I'm here.
That's
it. You know?
That's exactly
it. Just checking on you. Just having the courage to just be persistent with that, even if you get, I'm fine. Right. Keep talking to me like this.
I'm good.
Glad you good.
Exactly that. I couldn't have said it any better. And it's just know, if you ever need anything, I'm here.
Right.
What about, like, every once in a while, just like calling or texting and be like, hey, thinking about you, like, just want to let you know
I'm sending you a smile.
Little things really I feel like can help someone's emotional state when it's persistent and consistent. Not like super persistent, but like...
Right. And at least help break down walls a little bit.
There you go. But then there's always that worry in the back of your head that you didn't do enough. If only I had.
Yes.
When is enough enough?
Yeah.
It's such a state of helplessness for the people that are watching and sitting back and knowing that the person is going through something and not being able to offer the kind of help that they need.
So I think that's one of those questions that comes back to, and with respect, who are we doing enough for? Them or us? So enough is, do you feel like in your spirit you have given everything that you can to try to support this loved one or this person that you want to help? And I think once you've done that, you can't fix it for them, right? You can't fix anything for other people. People have to be ready to fix things for themselves. And our goal is not to fix.
Yeah.
There is one being up there, right? It's not me.
Right.
So it's not on me to fix it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to this bonus content.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.